Good to be together. Good to be on the cusp of Thanksgiving. We are there. I don't know if there's really Thanksgiving Eve, but we're going to celebrate and be just directing all of our attention to Jesus today. So I'm going to do this just at the beginning of the service, and whether you're here in this room, or you're downstairs, or you're online you have some more flexibility, don't you? We want you to be ready to celebrate communion. So I'm looking right now that under your seat, you will find a COVID-safe way of packaging communion. So here's how it goes, with mask and gloves and putting that prepackaged into another package. It's ready for you. All right. Would you get that out right now? Would you do that? Would you be ready? Because at the end of the service, we are going to be celebrating and remembering Jesus and his sacrifice. As we begin this time, I love that the worship team led us in this, that what a powerful name it is. Today we're going to talk about the power of Jesus as soon as my notes come back here. How about that? Maybe you've had this happen to you, no? Okay. Let's begin here. We want to connect together. We want to do that. And so if you have the ability, whether you're at home right now, you're watching us via the video. And again, if Facebook takes a dive, harvestlivestream.com, and you can find that there. I'm seeing many of you on the live stream right now, and that is so fun. That is just one of those great things of technology. But using our app, you can fill out your Connect card. I just invite you to do that right now. Before we go any further, just fill out the Connect card and let us know how we can pray for you, how we can connect with you this week. And then as you do that today, if you forgot your Operation Christmas Child box, all right, if you're saying, oh, I had that, it's by the door, I got to go get it. When this service is over, go get it. Because we take it. As soon as that second service starts, we take it to the delivery location for our valley. And so that is it for us to say, they're going. And thank you for all the volunteers. I want to say a special thank you to Sharon Heatwall, who makes so many things happen. And I'm so grateful for her. Would you just tell Sharon thank you for all she does? Would you do that? Just to appreciate her and so many others, just making this time when it's crazy and there's things that are difficult, people are still saying, I'll serve. I'll do that. I'll follow Jesus with you. And that's just where I want to stop today. Don't forget there's opportunities to be generous. There's a giving box by the door. There's ways to give online. But I want to spend a moment just with some family news. This week, one of our own, Helen Emery, went into the presence of Jesus, went into the arms of Jesus. And there will be a memorial service coming up that right now is going to be held on December 3rd. And if you know Helen, and just be praying for her family as they grieve, as they work through this loss. I can tell you, I have just this picture. When we were at the Civic Center, remember that one place? She sat halfway back on the right side, right there. And I would come by and talk with her or pray with her each week. And just dearly loved lady who is dearly loved and in the presence of Jesus because of faith in Jesus. Okay, let's just be clear. Faith in Jesus is what gives you a home in heaven. So let's pray, celebrate Jesus, ask the Lord to be with us even in the difficulties. Father God, we come to you. We know you're good. We celebrate you in this place. We celebrate you upstairs. And we celebrate you downstairs. And we celebrate you online. We celebrate you because you are to be celebrated. Lord, we love the way you move even through difficulty. We love the way you care for us, even when it's hard. We love the way that you give us reasons to be thankful when the rest of the world is in a frenzy. Lord, today we ask in a special way that you would help the family of Helen as they grieve, as they mourn, as they work through this very real and difficult loss. Lord, I pray that you would minister to them. And Lord, I pray that you would minister to so many of us, so many that are filled with fear and anxiety at this time for all kinds of real and very varied reasons. Lord, we know that you can handle all of that, so we give you praise. And we ask for you to move. In the name, the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning I thought I would start off with something cute and clever regarding Thanksgiving. And then as I studied the text, which is about plagues, I thought, no, let's just dive in. And we will go to the table that God has set before us in his word. And then at the end of that time, we will come to the Lord's table, which looks different than it did in other days. We can still celebrate Jesus. And so let's open our Bibles this morning. If you have a Bible, we're Bible people here at Harvest. I hope you know that. And if you have a Bible, we're in the second book of your Bible, all the way to Exodus. And we'll be in Exodus 8 as we look at the deliverance of the people of Israel out of bondage. And if you're going there, note this, if you're using the app, it's all up and running. It's there. And today's message is entitled this, The Power of God, Part 1. The Power of God, Part 1. And I want you to think about this. When you think about power, what comes to your mind? What pictures, what words, what assembles in your mind when you're thinking about power? I came across a couple of things that just came across my plate this week as I thought about this. I've heard of folks right now who are in Hawaii and Maui and the islands, and I thought about volcanoes. That's power. Would you agree? Has anybody that you know of in history tried to say, we're going to like just seal that off? Good luck. That just bottles up the power. And then it erupts even in a mightier way. Or how about this? Nuclear power. Nuclear power. Have you ever heard of somebody going nuclear? Taking the nuclear option? You know, like, hey, we could talk about this, or you could just lose your full mind. Go nuclear. That's power. And then today, as we dive into plagues will reveal power. And you're like, well, why didn't you show pictures of plagues? Do you really want to see pictures of plagues? The word is going to be very clear in its description of the plagues today. But I want you to think about this. We are going to see God's power in a clearly visible manner through his use of plagues. His power will be put on display for the people of Israel, first and foremost, for them to see who their God is. Because many of them thought of him as weak and distant and uninformed, and he's going to show them very much that he's involved, powerful, able to care for them. His power will be put on display for the people of Egypt. That is to show them that he alone is God, not one of their many varied gods, many in the pantheon that they had, gods for all kinds of things. Now, I'm just going to give you a little taste of what's coming next week. One of the great things is that we're going to have a friend of ours, a friend of Harvest, who lives and serves in Cairo, Egypt with us next week, and helping as we walk through God's word together, we get to have this insight help us understand how God still loves the people of Egypt. God still loves the people of Egypt. And it's going to be fun. I'm excited to have him help us as we look at the next week of the power of God on display. And then finally, I want you to know that the power of God is on display for the nations around, and that also that God's power is on display and recorded for us so that we can view it. So like light bulbs in a dark place, we are going to clearly see that the plagues reveal the power of God. So if you have your Bible open, we're going to spend a lot of time. So if you're like, man, I haven't spent this much time, we're going to do some real work here of covering some ground. So buckle up, jump in, let's dive in and look at the power of God on display. Chapter 8 of Exodus, verse 1, it says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord. That's very prophetic, very prophet sounding. Thus says the Lord, let my people, anybody? Go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague. Oh, there it is. Why do you call them plagues? Why do you say that? Because that's the word that God said to use. I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom and into your bed and into your houses of your servants and your people and into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you. You're like, I was okay until that. And on your people and on all your servants. And the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts. They're able to replicate this in some small fashion by their secret arts and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people. I will let the people go sacrifice to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile. And he said, tomorrow. Do it tomorrow, Moses. Moses said, be it as you say, so that you may know that there is no one. Would you underline this in your Bible? There is no one like the Lord our God. Make sure you note that. There is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall go away from you and your houses and your servants, your people, and they shall be left only in the Nile. So specific. So Moses and Aaron went from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs as he had agreed with Pharaoh, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out of the houses, the courtyards, and in the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps. I don't know if you've ever seen those pictures of what it was like when Mount St. Helens exploded, and the heaps of ash. Picture that as frogs. Gonna build a park out of that. And they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. What a word. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them as the Lord had said. And we recognize today what we hold in our hands, what is thousands of years old, is relevant and real and is the living word of God for us. Amen. So let's dive into it. Plague number two. Plague number one, turn the water of the Nile into blood. That happened. It lasted for days. And if you're thinking that each of these things only lasted a short time, many scholars believe all of the plagues, the whole season of plagues, may have lasted up to 9 months, bringing them to the time in which when the people are finally delivered is the time of the Passover. And so I want you to see this. Why frogs? Why frogs? This is another declaration of war against one of the false gods of Egypt. The goddess Hekt. Hekt, H-E-Q-T, was pictured as a frog. A woman's body with a frog head. How about that? You can see it. It's in hieroglyphic. You can still see it in things that they're discovering. Oh, there's the goddess Hekt. There's the goddess Hekt. Woman's body, frog head. And it was the Egyptian symbol for resurrection, the resurrection. And I was reading this, and of course, this is how my twisted mind worked. When I read this, I began to read about this in the woman's body with the frog head, and I said, what the heck? Not great? No. Still was in my head. I was like, that's making it into the sermon. That's going there. So here's what is happening. God is going to attack, declare war against all of the false gods. He specifically went against the god of the Nile and the guardian of the Nile. He attacked them first. Now he's going after the goddess Hekt, and he is showing his power, which is greater, that he alone is God. He's not a god, small g. He is the Almighty God. And I was thinking about this as we look at this. I was watching how the Pharaoh responds, and how often in this account we respond like the Pharaoh, and not so often do we respond like Moses and the great ways of faith that he shows. And I would ask you this question. Have you ever made a deal with God? I'm not going to ask you to show a hand, all right? Have you ever made deals with God? Like, God, if you would just get me out of this, I will serve you as a missionary in Brazil. I will do this for you. I will give more at Christmas time. I will do so. Have you ever made a deal with God? That's what you're seeing the Pharaoh do here. Plead with God to take away these frogs, and then I will let the people go. But as soon as the frogs are gone, what happens? I'm out of the deal. In fact, it's kind of like that what happens in elementary school. At least it happened in my elementary, this little thing. Oh, I had my fingers crossed, so it means I'm out. I didn't do it. I was just joking. I was thinking about that. God, if you will just get me through this, I will. If you'll get me through this illness, if you'll get me through this exam, if you'll get me through this marriage, if you'll get me through this day, if you'll get me through 2020, if you'll get me through COVID, if you'll get me through, then I will. I'll be kinder. I'll be gentler. I'll be bolder. I'll attend church. I'll become a missionary. I'll give. If you've ever made a deal with God, you'll understand that negotiations with the Almighty God, you're trying to prop yourself up as an equal. And God is saying, that's just not how it works. If you have, then you understand this idea of bargaining, negotiating, bartering with the Almighty is really in some ways laughable. But like the Pharaoh, we often do it and then we don't keep up our end of the bargain. This is how it is. Negotiating like a Pharaoh, we beg relief. God, take this away. God, get me through. God, help me to be able to come on the other side of this. We promise freedom. God, if you'll do this, then I will unreservedly do this for you. I'll come through for you. But when it's gone, we harden our heart. And just today, I have to tell you, there's a part of this where you just sense a conviction of saying, I am often like the Pharaoh. We are often like the Pharaoh. We beg for relief. We promise freedom and all kinds of things to God. And then when there's relief that we beg for, we harden our heart and we go on like we try not to remember it. I love in this passage, one of the things you're seeing is that Moses told Pharaoh to choose when he would like the frog plague to end. You might just roll past that and not see this, but if you were suffering in a great way and people you loved and cared about were suffering in a great way, what would you say when he said, you name it, I'll do it? What would you name? Wouldn't you name, take them away instantly? Kill the frogs now. But what does the Pharaoh say? Tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. The Pharaoh is leaving a window, because if the frog problem, the plague might just clear up on its own, then he doesn't have to come through on his word that I'll let the people go. He's leaving himself a window. How caring is that? How caring is it to say, let them suffer a little longer? They'll be okay. He named tomorrow, so tomorrow it was. And they are granted relief. And you would think that, okay, now the Pharaoh will come through. He made an agreement with Moses and Aaron and the living God. But here's an unfortunate reality. And you know this. Relief from suffering often results in a renewed reluctance. When the suffering ends, a lot of times people say, oh, and I'm going to end that too. I'm going to end that too. That's real. That's real. Think about that in our COVID world. God, take this. God, remove this. God, deal with this. And then when he deals with it on your behalf or on behalf of somebody you love and is able to help them, and then there's this, oh, thanks, God. Oh, yeah, that's one thing you did. That, thank you. I'm moving on now. Unfortunate reality, relief from suffering often results in a renewed reluctance. You were hoping that this would just remain about the Pharaoh and about the people of Egypt, but it's about us and that we would learn from this. All of this has been prepared and preserved for us so that we would learn from it. Let's look at plague number three, the gnats. If you thought frogs were bad, let's move on to gnats. Here it is, Exodus chapter 8, verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it might become gnats in all the land of Egypt. And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth. And there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. Now, look at this, verse 18. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could, anybody? Not. They could not. So there were gnats on man and beast, and the magician said to the Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Look at this, as we note this, that this plague comes without warning. Before, you see that Moses and Aaron deliver the message, if you don't let us go, if you don't come through on what God says, then this will happen. This just happens. This just happens. And you will see there's a rhythm in that a number of these plagues. In fact, watch this. The absence of warning occurred on the third plague, the sixth plague, and the ninth plague. Do you think God has a very clear plan and how he operates? Absolutely. These are not haphazard plagues. They're not plagues that he just is on a whim thinking up, and he's doing things very intentionally. This one has no warning, and it comes upon all the people. And if you're wondering, what about gnats? Oh, yeah, I've run through them, and it's just terrible. They get in your mouth. They get in your eyes while you're running. And is that the worst of it? No, that these apparently are micro-biting insects and just absolute irritation and destruction. People are just being swarmed by them. But I want you to witness this. Witness these two things happening at the same time. Witness the unlimited power of God. Strike the dust and make these things appear. Strike the dust and cause them to come out. And then witness the limited, and I would really have you focus on that, the limited power of the enemy. Often we do not give the living God enough credit, and at the same time we give the evil one way too much credit. Like somehow they're equals. Like in the cartoons where you see the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. Like they're equals in this. The living God and the evil one are not equals. Can we affirm that? Amen. They are not equals. The evil one has power. We saw the magicians able to duplicate and do some things up till now. But now you're seeing you no longer can imitate. You no longer can cause this to happen. And I love what those magicians say. This is the finger of what? Of God. Not a God. This is not a new God. This is the finger of God. They're pointing that out to the Pharaoh, but the Pharaoh does not care. Often we do not give God enough credit, and at the same time we give the evil one far too much credit. Maybe that has been your week. Lord, forgive us for making it seem like you're equal with the evil one. Forgive us for not giving you enough credit. Forgive us for giving the evil one too much credit. Plague number four, flies. Flies. Verse 20, as it says this, then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me or else. Would you underline that in your Bible? I love that. Or else. Or else. If you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day, I will set apart. To set apart something is to declare it holy, totally set apart. He's saying, I'm going to do something different here. I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen. Notice that he's giving him time. He's giving him time. And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and throughout all the land of Egypt. The land was ruined by the swarms of flies. And stop there. I'm going to stop there at verse 24. Verse 23 is super important here because God begins to protect his people while allowing punishment on wickedness. It is for the world to see. It's important that you and I recognize that this is true. Sometimes we suffer along with the rest of the world simply because this is where we live. How is it that COVID is impacting? We know people who have died of COVID who love Jesus, who have served Jesus faithfully. God, how could you let that happen? Sometimes we suffer, and by the way, three plagues so far, the people of Israel have suffered along with the Egyptians. Did you notice that? But now in plague number four, God is going to set them apart. And he begins to make a distinction here. I think this is true in the world in which we live, that God will protect us from some things, but not everything. And God is sovereign, he's all powerful, and he doesn't always explain himself. And you say, I want to know why that is. If the Lord explains it, amen. If he doesn't explain it, amen. Because he's God and we're not. He allowed these people, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, my people, my hosts, that's what God said of them. He allowed them to suffer the first three plagues. But now in plague number four, he's going to say, there's not a fly to be found in Goshen. Fly swatter sales there, down. Would you note this? God often gives us an opportunity to repent. In fact, I think right now in this world, God is giving people the opportunity to say, how do you know that? 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness, but he's allowing us the opportunity to repent. He gave the Pharaoh warning saying, tomorrow this will happen. That means you should repent when? Today. Now. Now. That same God gives us opportunity to repent. And this is true. God is good. God is good even as he punishes sin. Even as he punishes sin, he's still good. He is still good. And I just want you to see this. Maybe you should know that there was a declaration of war against another false god. The Lord, the God of the flies, who would take on the form of a fly. And so God said, fine, I will show my power over Utiket. That's the Egyptian god of the fly. The fly god. God said, I'll show my power. I'll show my power. And you'll all know who the real God is. Look at verse 25 with me. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice. What? Is he really going to let this happen? The flies have thrown him over the edge. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God within the land. Uh-oh. He's trying to obey God on his terms. Is that obeying? Yes or no? Obeying God on your terms instead of on God's terms, that is not obedience. He's still trying to negotiate as if they were peers. As if they were peers. And that's just not going to fly. Pun intended. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to God within the land. But Moses said, it would not be right to do so. For the offerings we shall sacrifice to the Lord your God are an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice offerings abominable to the Egyptians in their eyes, will they not stone us? We'd be setting ourselves up for failure if we did this. Because the way we're going to sacrifice, they find detestable. They'll kill us. He's just helping the Pharaoh with logic here. We must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he tells us. That's obedience. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go to sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness only. Here it is. Only you must not go very far away. Still not obeying. You must not go very far away. Plead for me. Then Moses said, behold, I am going out from you, and I will plead with the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Do you get a little bit of the humor there? I'll do it tomorrow. You let your people suffer under the frogs. You said tomorrow. So I'll say the same thing. The flies will disappear tomorrow, not today. Then Moses said, behold, I'm going out from you. I'll plead with the Lord that swarms of flies may depart from the Pharaoh, from his servants, and from the people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh cheat again by not letting the people go to sacrifice the Lord. I wrote in the margin of my Bible, cheat, deceive, mislead. Verse 30, so Moses went from the Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of flies from the Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. Not one. This is supernatural, folks. But the Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go. I want you to recognize something about the Lord, and we need to know this. In the world in which we live, in our own lives, that the living God, the holy God, the God who is set apart from all, he does not negotiate with wickedness. He does not say, I'll let you sin in this way and that will be okay. I'll go ahead and smile on that when I've told you don't do this. God will not negotiate with wickedness. He said, that sounds like terrorism. Sin is terrorism. Sin is against the living God. It is wickedness. He cannot negotiate with it. Because God loves us, he is not for a moment in his love going to approve of our sin. If we are trying to pull a Pharaoh and negotiate with God regarding what he says, I cannot overlook. And yet sometimes we want God to bless our sin. We want him to bless our pride. We want him to bless our greed. We want him to bless our lust. We want him to bless our anger. We want him to bless those things. And he said, I can't do that. I will not negotiate with this. One of the things you're seeing pointed out to us again and again in this is that God has to be recognized for who he is. And we must pay attention to who God is. His power is on display to show that he is not just another human. He's not just another small g God in the pantheon of gods. In fact, I love how he does this. God is supernatural and does the supernatural. Did you notice what he did with the frogs? They were all dead, but he allowed the frogs in the Nile to live. Very particular. And when it was time to kill the flies, not one remained. You know, at the end of the summer when it's black fly time around here, and they seem to just keep coming in, you think, I got them all. And then, where? I thought I had them all. God dealt with them all. He dealt with them all. What a supernatural event you're witnessing here. So much that I would love to spend time on, but I want us to get to a place of celebrating God through communion, and so we must press on. Exodus 9. We are covering a lot of ground today. We are. Verse 1, the fifth plague. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, the God of the slaves, the God of the people of Jacob, the God of the descendants of Abraham, the Hebrews. Let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field, the horses and the donkeys and the camels, the herds and the flocks. If you love animals, this one hurts. But the Lord will not, or the Lord will make a distinction. Would you circle that word in your Bible because it's important? The Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. And the Lord set a time saying, tomorrow, giving you opportunity to repent today. Today is the day. Seek the Lord. Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the next day the Lord did this thing, and all the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And the Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one, one of the livestock of Israel was dead. He sent people to check it out. Go and see what's happening in Goshen. What's happening among the slaves? What's happening among the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What's happening there? They're having a great day. Livestock is thriving. But the heart of the Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Plague number 5, the Egyptian livestock die. God is declaring war against more of the false gods. Apis, the bull revered. He is declaring war against the sacred bulls and cows of their worship. Ptah, Minervus, and Hathor. He is specifically doing this to show the Israelites, the Egyptians, the nations around them, and us, that he alone is distinct. And I want you to see that. That God is distinct, and he will show distinction. Sometimes we want this. We want God just to, just everybody, I treat everybody fairly. There is no difference. And that's not who God is. He does show distinction. God will treat his people, his children, his followers distinctly different than the rest of the world. That's good news for the children of God. Would you agree? Amen. That's good. Yes, he loves humanity. Yes, he died so that all of humanity could be saved. He did this at the cross. But God is distinct, and he's not afraid to show his love and his care for his people. And I would ask you today, are you one of his people? No question marks in your heart today. Are you one of his people? And if you are unsure of that, today you must come to the place, today, not tomorrow. That's the problem, isn't it? It's tomorrow. It's tomorrow. When I'm older, when I'm retired, when I have everything done that I want to do, then I'll follow God. God is saying, I show distinction and I show favor on my people, and that is right. Become a follower of Jesus today. If you have not put your faith in Jesus, today, ask Jesus to forgive your sins. Ask him to lead your life. Ask him to change you and change you and change you until one day when you're in the presence of the Savior, you will be changed. Exodus 9, verses 8 through 12. You're like, how far are we going? This far. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from the kiln, right in the margin of your Bible, a kiln for bricks. Where are they finding kilns? Everywhere. And let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians, remember them? The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils came upon the magicians and upon all of the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Ash from a kiln for making bricks. This is a punishment directly tied to the cruelty of slavery and what the people of Egypt had done to the people of Israel for years. Go stick your hand into that ash. Bring it with you. And then in the sight of the Pharaoh, let it go. And when it goes, it's going to be an outbreak. A pandemic. Are you familiar with those terms? Not even your mask could save you from this. You will be punished in the flesh. The people were punished in their flesh. Think about this. They punished the flesh of the Israelites. They pushed them and whipped them and beat them until they broke. The people of Israel had felt the sting of the whip for hundreds of years. And now the people of Egypt are going to feel the sting in their flesh. A side note, that the magicians who were the all-powerful sorcerers are affected so badly that they cannot stand either physically or vocationally before the Pharaoh, and they cannot stand physically or vocationally before Moses and Aaron. We have covered plagues 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 today, but I want you to know the whole purpose of the plagues was to reveal the power of God, that you would see it clear and visible, who God is and who God is not. But I want you to realize today, as we look at where in the Bible do we see the greatest display of God's power, it is through the sacrifice of Jesus. Because at the sacrifice of Jesus, he suffered and he took the pain and he took all of the plague of sin on himself and he forgave sin. Where is the power of God on display in the clearest manner? God's greatest display of power is found in this, through forgiveness. Through forgiveness. Have you acknowledged God's greatest display of power, saying, give me the forgiveness for which you suffered? That's why we find ourselves drawn to say, we must acknowledge the power of God and changing hard hearts, such as ours, Every Christian who has come into saving faith has had their heart changed. The Pharaoh needs a heart transplant, and so did we. Would you take this out with me right now? I just want to lead us through a time of celebrating Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul gives us instruction to say, do this well. Do this in a way that honors me. I'm just going to ask you to take a few moments. He said, don't do this in a joking manner. Don't do this in a foolish manner. Don't do this in a playful manner. Do this in a way, examine yourself. Would you just take a few moments and pray right now? And as the Lord points things out in your life that look more like the Pharaoh and more like the world than the King of Kings, would you just confess that before the Lord? Say, that doesn't look like you, Jesus. Let's take a few moments and then we'll celebrate this together. Take some time and then we'll pray. Father, we come to you and we confess. We confess you have work to do in us. We confess that we often run back to false gods. We confess that we think we can negotiate with you. We confess that often we ask you to bless our sin and we know you cannot. We confess that we are people that need to have our feet washed by you. Even though for every Christian who you have washed thoroughly, we continue to step in it. Help us, Jesus. Forgive us, Jesus. We recognize that confession and repentance is not a one-time thing. It's a continual event. And as we come to this celebration of you and your power, Jesus, we recognize that the elements that we hold in our hand are simply to point us to you, to help us remember you. And so we celebrate you through bread and through the cup. We celebrate you. We remember you and your power when you forgave our sin. If you would do this right now, pull back that little top layer. If you're at home and don't have this, this is where you get to just enjoy and participate with us. But you have that wafer that's in your hand. And the focus of this is to say, it should have been me. It should have been us. Our body on the cross, paying for our sin, but Jesus died in our place. His body broken for us. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 11. His body broken for us. Would you just take that and say, thank you, Jesus. I remember you. Would you peel back that second layer? This is new for you. The goal is to focus on Christ here, not on this packaging, okay? And we look at what Jesus did when he poured out his blood for us. He gave us a new beginning, a new covenant in his blood. There were new people living new lives in a new family with a new future. And so we say thank you, Jesus, through the cup and through your shed blood. We remember you. I'm going to ask you, just because of COVID times, to take that. Would you put that in that bag? Would you seal that for us? And then I'm going to ask that you would dispose of that. Okay? Would you do that? I'm going to invite the worship team to come and lead us right now. Because we're going to sing about the deep and powerful love of God. The deep and powerful love of God that is greater than all. I invite you to continue in your worship as this happens and not to miss who we gather for, who we serve, and who we love. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.